Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting with verse 7. The Word of God says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we realize again today that if the Holy Spirit doesn't quicken these words to our heart, and we do not open up the doors of our heart to you, then we'll go away from here just like we came in. Lord, our desire is for you to speak to us. And let us lay aside everything that might be in our minds this morning except the Word of God. And speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in the Scripture is one of the most incredible men of God. Paul's life was one that was just an awesome life poured out for Jesus Christ. You know, if you've been in church, you know the story of Paul. How Paul was a man that was zealous. He was about persecuting the church of God. Wanted to wipe it out. And he was doing a good job of it. He was on the road to Damascus, and the Bible says he had an encounter with God. He was struck down on that road. And that experience with God changed his life completely. What an incredible conversion experience. You see, I believe if we're saved, our conversion may not be one that we were blinded on a road to Damascus like Paul's, but I believe a conversion experience literally changes your life, because that's what the Bible says. You're changed in your life. You're not the same person anymore. You've been sold out to God. You've been bought and purchased, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, listen, your life is changed. He seals you with His presence. That is an incredible life. After his conversion, he traveled across the known world at that time. And what did he do? He told people about Jesus Christ. The Bible says he went into the desert with the prophets in his backpack, and he came out with Galatians, Ephesians, Romans in his heart. And oh, he poured out the Word of God. He started those churches in different places. He looked after those churches. He talked about Jesus Christ. Now, if you read 2 Corinthians in the context of it as it's written, you're really reading, I believe, about Paul's personal testimony. Now, folks, we have a testimony if we've been saved about what Jesus Christ has done in our life and what he's doing in our life. And I believe Paul just right here opens up his hearts and shares about what Jesus Christ had done in his life. Now, notice what he says. We have this ministry. We have this treasure. Now, the treasure is found up in verse 6. And he's talking about what it means to be saved. Paul says, he says, we have this light, and it shines out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, he says, this treasure that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ living in our heart. And folks, let me tell you, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, he comes in. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, he lives right here in our heart. And Paul's talking about this treasure we have is Jesus Christ living in our heart, and he gives us the greatest gift, salvation. Salvation. Oh, it's so good to have. It's so good to know that no matter what we face here in this world, man, we're going to face some trials. We have Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, David said, I shall not want. He walks with me every single day in life. The Lord walks with us. He's here in our heart. We have this treasure, this ministry, this salvation. Let me tell you, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, God wants you to come to him. You see, the Bible says, God so loved. Isn't that good to know that God loves you this morning? Some people say, well, you know, I don't have anybody that loves me. They don't know Jesus Christ then, because God loves you this morning. If you're here and you can hear my words, listen, God loves you so much that he gave his son Jesus Christ that you might have this precious gift, this treasure of salvation in your life. And then Jesus not only gave Paul this salvation, he offers it to every individual today, right here. He offers that treasure, and I believe that he's working in our hearts. Now, every conversion, I believe, is an incredible conversion. You see, it takes just as much of the grace and power of God to save Paul as it did will you. And that is amazing, isn't it? God has this power to save, and he wants you to come to him. I love to hear people's testimonies. Some nights on Sunday night, we'll stand up here and we'll just ask for testimonies, and people will give testimonies. Let me tell you, all different circumstances. I was saved here. I was saved while this was going on. I was saved in a bar. I was saved in a revival. I was saved on the highway. Just pulled over my car. I have heard all kinds of testimonies, and every single testimony is incredible because of the grace and the power of God coming into people's lives. You see, God saves people, and he wants them to come and let him have his way in their life. Now, Paul's definitely was an incredible experience. Look at what he says. We have this treasure. It's an incredible vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I went to ETBU. That's over in Marshall. And I had some late classes. Sometimes I didn't get home till 11 or 11:30 in the evening. And, oh, it was a long night. But I had some late classes. And when you get over your classes at 12 and then you have a late class that night, you have a lot of time on your hands. You know, Marshall has a pottery place out there, and I would go watch the potters make vessels. I enjoyed watching these guys as they work with that clay, and you know, they'd take an old lump of clay there and They'd start out on that wheel and put water on it, and they'd take their fingers and they'd work that old piece of clay into a beautiful piece of pottery, a jar, a cup. It was amazing how skillful they could use their hands in making a beautiful vessel out of an old lump of clay. So many clay vessels made by the skillful hands of the potter. And here Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And he switches to the scene to a potter's house as an illustration of the incredible power of God in the life of a common vessel. Now think about it. A person, an individual, God takes that individual and he has a treasure in that individual. And Paul says, earthen vessels. You know, this is just a vessel. It's a pot. It's a jar. It's the place that Jesus Christ lives. And God is working on me every single day. Every moment he's working in my life. He's making my life to be a vessel of honor to him. Think about it. He wants to turn your life. He wants to take your life, an old lump of clay, an old vessel that may not be fit for much, you think, but God can take that life of yours and he can mold it and he can make it unto a beautiful vessel. Now that's what the Bible describes our life, the Christian life. He describes our life in many ways. I said a while ago, the Lord is my shepherd. There, we are sheep. He calls us sheep sometimes. He calls us believers sometimes. He calls us children sometimes. But here, Paul says, a clay pot, a vessel. Now, in 2 Timothy, Paul says another thing. He says, here in this great house, there are many kinds of vessels. Now, I believe God has a great house. And I believe all that are saved are vessels in that house. Some for good. Oh, and then he describes the vessel of honor, satisfied to fit for the master's use. And I wonder how many of us today would say, you know, I'm fit for the master's use in my life. What a beautiful way of describing a Christian as a vessel fit for the master's use. Now, some of us would probably have to say, well, you know, preacher, I haven't been living the type of life I should be. I was saved, yes. I'm a child of God, yes. I'm a vessel that the Holy Spirit lives in, yes. But I've gone places and I've done things and I've thought things that are not very pleasing, and I don't feel like I'm a very good vessel. God says you can be. He wants you to be. You must come to him and say, Lord, I have failed, and I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be used of you, Lord. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God. We've all come short. But the Bible says, if my people will confess. If we'll just confess our sin before him. He's talking to his children there in 1 John. He's a vessel that God can use. A container that God can pour out his spirit in and be a blessing to the world. You know, are you a blessing? Are you a blessing to the world today? I hope you are. Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to. Wouldn't it be nice if you just come and give your life to Christ and be a vessel? used of him, like Paul, an incredible vessel of God. I don't remember when we went. Now, it's been seemed like a long time ago, but it's not that long ago. We went over to Israel, and we went by the caves of Qumran there, and that's where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. A shepherd was out, and he was going through those caves, and he broke a pot, and he found inside this clay pot the Dead Sea Scrolls. He found some old papers. He didn't realize the value of those old papers, but he carried them and had them read and figured out, and oh, the wealth of those old papers. You see, our lives are like that. We have our lives and we think, well, I'm just a common old person. But God takes that common old man, that common person, and he uses him for his glory. If we'll just give our lives to him and live for him, he will make us something beautiful, something valuable. When the world sees the child of God, they see us as just some common old clay pot. But to God, we are great value. You're his child. And Paul describes the Christian life here as a vessel fit for honor, for glory, for God's house. An incredible vessel. An incredible vessel. I think of David, mainly because everybody knows of David. You see, David was... When you think of David, what do you think of? David and Goliath. All right. The giant. Man, I've heard that story ever since Brother Bill's been up here. And David was just a small man at that time. Young man. And he just believed that God could do anything. That nothing was impossible for God. You know, everybody else in the camp that day saw Goliath as too big. But David saw Goliath as too easy to hit or too big to miss. You see? And David was used by God, just an ordinary shepherd boy, giving his life to God. And oh, how he became a blessing of the power of God. And he gave the glory to God, you see. And that's what we are. We can be an ordinary person used mightily by the glory of God, become something beautiful. Now, are you an incredible vessel this morning of God? Not only that, we see an incredible victory. Look at verse 8 and 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. He's giving a personal testimony. And he's saying something that's true many times in God's people. The words mean we're under pressure from all sides, but we're not distressed. Now, folks, let me tell you something. We are under a lot of pressure in this world. That's just part of life. Nobody escapes the pressures of the world. I think about a story of a man that was leading his men in battle. And they were surrounded on every side by the enemy. They were completely surrounded by the enemy. And he looked up at them and he said, "Okay, boys, they're all around us. Don't let any of them escape." Now, folks, we're surrounded. All around us is the enemy, the old devil. There's pressure on all sides, but Paul says here, we're not hemmed in. We're not depressed by it. Moses had the children of Israel at the Red Sea. You see, the Egyptians were behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, and God said, "Moses, let the people stand still and see the salvation that comes from God. Now, I've got a feeling I'm talking to somebody today that's under a lot of pressure in life. But God says, open the door. You're not hemmed in. God on your side. And then he says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. You know what that means? Man, he's saying, we are at wit's end. Have you ever been at wit's end? I have. Where we're at a place in our life that we saw no hope at all. There are times in life when a child of God, we just don't have an answer for it, do we? Man, I stood at the graveside of a little child and looked into that mama's eye and that daddy's eye, and they would say, why? And you know what? I didn't have an answer. But I knew this one who did. And I said, only God knows and give you an answer. Stick with God, folks. He's the answer we need. And there comes a time in our life when, yes, we might be there. We're literally at wit's end and we don't see there's any hope. I think of Peter, you see. Peter was one of these men that he was always jumping up and doing things beforehand. But you know, Herod had just killed James and Peter was thrown in jail. And Herod said, you know, it's a good time right now. Everybody liked that. I believe I'll just have old James killed too. Now, wouldn't you call that kind of at wit's end? Under a lot of pressure. He's in prison. And you know what he's doing there in prison? He's sleeping like a baby. Now, imagine you being in that kind of pressure. I spent some nights where I couldn't sleep, and I thought, man, if Peter could sleep facing death, surely I can get a little rest. At wit's end. He was persecuted, but he says he wasn't forgotten. An angel of the Lord came that night and tapped him on the shoulder and said, wake up, Peter, we're about to go out of here, place. Get up. And he walked through the first door, and the door opened wide. Somebody said that was the first electronic door. Didn't have a key, but the door opened. Don't you know that was an incredible victory in Peter's life? You know why he could do that? Because he was sold out to Jesus Christ. Cast down, but not destroyed. Knocked down. Man, J.B. Phillips says, we might be knocked down, but we haven't been knocked out. Amen? We might be knocked down, but we're not knocked out. We may lose a few battles, but I know who's going to win the war. All around us today, the battle's raging. Somebody said, how do you know the battle's raging? Well, you can just look. Folks, the devil is alive and well in America. I see him on television shows. Man, I hear him in the gossip. I hear him I saw it in the school system this week where a boy went in and shot. That's the devil. That's what we get when we take God out of our system. You see? We have all kinds of people wanting to blame it on mental illness. Well, we're mental illness for taking God out. That's what's wrong. When you take God out of your life, you take God out of your schools, you take God out of your nation, it leaves a vacuum and the devil just loves it. Now, I believe we got a lot of people mental. Mental illness is something else. But most of it is just of the old devil at work in America today. Destroying us. Paul had an incredible vision. Well, we've been to the potter's house. We've been to the battlefield. Now let's look at the vision. we go to the graveyard now. Now, there's different kinds of death. Look what he says. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Now, there's a physical death. We've had a funeral this week of Brother Dub. I saw the physical death and what, you know, going to the cemetery and burying the body in the cemetery. But that's all it was. That's a physical death, separation of the soul and the body. The moment he breathed his last breath, I said, the moment anybody breathes their last breath, their soul departs. His soul went to be with Jesus, praise God. That's the physical death. So many, I couldn't say that. Either you go to heaven or you're on the way to hell immediately. There's no in-between spot. You're gone. Now is the time to make things right with God while you're still here. Now is the time to live for Christ. Now is the time to be the vessel of honor. There's a physical death. And then he says also there's a spiritual death. In Ephesians 2, he says, you hath he made alive who were dead in their trespasses and sin. And all around this world, we see the spiritual darkness. We see a world of spiritual dead people. Amen. I'm glad somebody's alive today. The lights went out. We have some trouble with lights here, and they decided to go off. They wanted it dark today, I guess. But you know what? God gives us a light in that spiritual dead world. Paul had a great vision of what reaching lost people for Jesus Christ and turning dead people to alive people. You see, you can be physically dead and then you can be spiritually dead. Jesus Christ wants us to become spiritually alive in Christ. And Paul had this vision, going out and starting churches, going out and making sure people knew about Jesus Christ, telling people about Jesus Christ. If you want to be a witness to the world, go out there and tell them about Jesus Christ. They won't hear it from the world. They'll only hear it from God's people. The world tell them all kinds of things are wrong, but they don't give them an answer for it. And it's Jesus Christ. Paul said, I had to die to myself, that the life of Jesus might operate in the power, in his power, through me. Now listen, folks, to be spiritual alive, we have to die to ourselves every day. Oh, man. That's what he talks about in Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God. Paul said in one of my favorite verses, I guess it's my wife's favorite verse. She says, I am crucified with Christ. Is that your life? You've been crucified with Christ. Spiritual life comes out of death. If you're saved, you have to be crucified the flesh. Lord, I need you to come into my life. I want you to be Savior of my life. You see, he died that you might live. But we have to trust him for that. And man, let me tell you, we have to die to our old flesh and say, Lord, I'm tired of living the sinful life. I want to be alive in Christ. I want to be alive in Christ. He died for our sins. That's just as simple as I can make it. He died for our sins. He paid the penalty on the cross for our sins once and for all. 3 days he laid in the ground. On the third day he arose. Boy, he defeated death. And he says, because I live, you can live also. Isn't that wonderful? We sing a song around Easter. Easter's coming up. He arose a victor over dark domain. And he lives forever, folks. He lives forever. And you can live forever. because of what he did that day on the cross. He was raised again for our justification, being made right with God. Now, do you want the victory in Christ Jesus? You want to be an incredible vessel for Christ Jesus? Die to yourself and be alive in Christ. We need to understand that principle. We must be willing to die to ourselves. What are the things in life that you are holding on to that you're going to have to give up? What are they? My will for Christ's will. It's no longer my way. I don't like that song, "I Did It My Way." If you're going to do it your way, you're not going to do it Christ's way. I'd rather sing, "I did it Christ's way." You see, when I come to the end of my life, I want to know that I've done it Christ's way. Because, see, after this life, I want to spend an eternity with Christ. And, you know, I want to be an incredible vessel for God. And I want to have a credible victory in this world for God. And I want to let God give me an incredible vision of what he wants to do in my life. I want to say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. If you're lost here this morning, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about it just for a moment. Is your life physically, spiritually dead? You can come alive this morning if you're willing to come to Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." If you ask him to, he will save you. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think you are, you're not any worse than that guy that I talked about, Paul. Murderer, persecutor, man. And yet God saved him, and he had an incredible victory in Christ. Confess him as Lord. Put your trust and faith in him and come to him. That's all it takes. I will come to God this morning. Now, the devil's going to sit there and try to get you to stay seated and say, "Oh, wait some other day." But that's just the devil, the way he operates. You don't listen to that. You listen to the Holy Spirit saying, "Come, come, come." Now, if you're here and you are saved, and you're not living like Christ wants you to live, you're not doing what Christ wants you to do, God says you need to come down, confess it, get it right, and say, "Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor." Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home. Man, I tell you what, I don't know what I'd do without a church home. I've had three great church homes in my life. Eastside Baptist Church in Rusk, Texas. Grisham Baptist Church in Tyler, out of Tyler, Texas, out of Grisham. And right here in Gun Barrel City. I don't know how we would have made it, my wife and I, through all the trials we've had, if it hadn't have been for these three churches. And the great thing is, I'm a part of God's church, his family. And he's there every day, every step of the way. I love that old song, "Each Step I Take, I Know That He Is With Me." Do you know that? If you don't, would you come to him today? Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, you've given us incredible salvation, a gift to these old vessels. Lord, I pray that we'll be an incredible vessel and that we'll have an incredible victory, that we might be have an incredible vision to reach the world for Christ. For it's in your name that we ask these things. Amen.